You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right on this most wonderful of days, Friday. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll be in the area all day. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good.
You are good.
I'm good. It's Friday, so I'm great.
And you're even gooder because you had your little bitty girl in here with you all day.
I did. She was just hanging out with Daddy.
Dad.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, good deal. How are we going to get all this done? Boomer, if I can get three dippers done today.
I'm going to be very impressed. You have a lot on the platter.
Does it count if I only do 5 minutes and call it a dipper?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you did it. You're just going to ease it in there. Remember, little dipper, mini dipper.
That's not even mini dipper. That's like a sampler.
Sampler.
That's an hors d'oeuvre dipper. All right. So, hey, well, here's the deal. 3 p.m. today, former Congressman Mo Brooks is going to be on with us. He's got some opinions about what's happening with the Trump indictments over in Georgia and the latest movements right now by members of the Georgia State Legislature to actually, you know, hold a special session and see about dealing with this Fannie Willis, who's the district attorney in Fulton County. Anyway, we're going to talk with former Congressman Mo Brooks at 3 p.m. today. And then at 3:30, my favorite segment of the week is here, Boomer and McQueen, one day off the usual schedule. But yeah, Boomer and McQueen, 3:30. We'll enjoy that time together. And then 4 p.m., as always, our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. She will be with us here in at 4 o'clock talking about some of the latest trends in public policy in Alabama, one of which is, of course, gambling is rearing its ugly head again. And it's nuts the way that all works out. So, yeah, 3 p.m., Congressman Mo Brooks, 3:30, Boomer McQueen, 4 o'clock, Stephanie Smith, and then there's a triple dipper. Hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So number one, I'm calling it Fighting Back. I get a lot of feedback from you guys, and I hear folks say it elsewhere, that they're ready for Republicans to friggin' do something, like just do something, like impeach somebody. We're going to talk about that. What does that even mean? How does that work? Can we just do it? Should we just do it? Fighting Back, that's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I love the title for it. I'm calling number two Magic Bus. Magic Bus. You know, it's funny to me how our tax dollars get used. Yeah, it's an amazing thing when you watch the market be manipulated by government. And what we got right now is a situation where school systems all over the nation are receiving free electric school buses. Oh, yeah. On the double Dutch bus, but we've got electric school buses going in even here in Alabama, and yet we're already hearing about problems in other places, and they're all being paid for with grants from the things like the Infrastructure Reduction Act, the Inflation Reduction Act. Anyway, all said and done, number two on the triple dipper, Magic Bus. We'll talk about it. And then number three, in conjunction with that conversation with Stephanie Smith at API, rolling the dice. We're going to talk about gambling in Alabama, the history of it, the fairly negative history of it, the amount of lawbreakers that are out there wanting to be considered legal and good folks, and with the legislature, what are they doing? We'll see. Rolling the dice. That's number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump to my comments, and I will remind you guys that our sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue every single day is Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all over North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Atala, Anniston, five locations around the Birmingham area. Listen, Southern Immediate Care, it's who I use, and we are glad to have them as a sponsor for the show, especially for the Right Side Way monologue every day. All right, here's the deal. I don't know if you caught it, but there was a jury verdict that didn't get a lot of attention. A jury verdict in Minneapolis last week. So a former police officer by the name of Tao Thao He's got a Filipino or Oriental background. But Tao Thao, a police officer in Minneapolis, was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 4 years and 9 months in prison. His crime? His crime was that he was on the scene when George Floyd died at the hands of another officer, and Officer Thao was seen on video holding back the crowd. Holding back the crowd. Trying to maintain control of a bad situation, and he will now spend nearly 5 years behind bars because he didn't intercede, apparently. You remember the months after George Floyd's death as the claims of injustice boiled over into race riots and BLM protests and calls to defund police forces everywhere? The death of one man became a call to burn down America because allegedly, we're a racist nation. Well, race baiters and charlatans got rich on corporate virtue signaling after that. Here in Alabama, you may have seen a story that made national news just last week or so as drunks and ne'er-do-wells got into a brawl on the docks in Montgomery. The press was so overdue for a racial incident that it quickly became an inflated race riot. Not really. It was just drunks and ne'er-do-wells being drunks and ne'er-do-wells. I mean, never mind that no one has even been charged with a race-based crime. Liberal Mayor Stephen Reed of Montgomery decided to call it what he thinks it is. Not necessarily legally racist in nature, but he could feel in his heart that it was. Sure, race baiter. You may also remember a couple of years ago, when a Georgia jury came back with their verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial. It was a solid and damning batch of verdicts, finding each one of the three defendants guilty on nearly all the counts. But race was not even part of the prosecution, at least not formally. But it was certainly a factor on the steps of the courthouse. Every race activist in the nation showed up. And you gotta know, they really wanted to see them acquitted because what they wanted to do was claim an injustice. But I'll be honest, there were some of them I know hoping for a verdict of acquittal because that's how they make their living. They're race baiters. By profiting off the bruised and battered sentiments of racial conflict. But a jury of 12, which was 11 white jurors and one black juror, reached unanimous verdicts of guilty in a deep South state, literally trashing the narrative that these racial pirates have glommed onto for decades. And in the midst of the post-verdict speeches, at the front door of the statehouse, there was one speech from one man that made all the difference in that case, in my opinion. It was Ahmaud Arbery, the victim, the deceased. It was Ahmaud Arbery's father, the man who had lost his son. He celebrated the fact that justice was met for his son, and then he celebrated the fact that racism did not rear its ugly head and deny them a verdict. And then he went there. He uttered the words. He uttered the words that those purveyors of division demand that we never be allowed to say. The black man, whose son was murdered by three white men, looked aside from race altogether and said, "All lives matter." And he was right. He was absolutely right. He was spot on. Don't let anyone ever tell you again, by the way, that the South is systemically racist. Don't let anybody rob you of your own lack of bias. Don't let anyone tell you how you were born or where you live or what you believe has somehow predisposed you to a hopelessness that you cannot get away from. Because the race-baiting liars, they're just that. They're liars. I was reminded not long ago of the most amazing modern-day story of goodness and racelessness. Yes, by the way, I just coined a new word for you to use in your Scrabble, racelessness. You may have heard the story I'm about to tell, and if you haven't, just go ahead and grab a tissue because it's a heartwarmer. It's a tearjerker. You see, there's a sweet grandma named Wanda Dench. She lives in Mesa, Arizona. She texted her grandson about 7 years ago to have him come over to the house for Thanksgiving, or at least she thought she did. What she actually had done, though, was texted another young man named Jamal Hinton, whom she'd never met. And Jamal Hinton got the text, and he responded back. He said, "You're not my grandma. Can I still have a plate, though?" And she responded back, "Of course. That's what grandmas are for." So he did. And they had a wonderful, wonderful time. And by now, you may have interpreted the underlying story based on my earlier comments, because you guessed it. Jamal's a black kid, and Wanda Dench and her husband Lonnie are white. And the race baiters, they would have said they don't belong together, but apparently they do, because they have celebrated Thanksgiving together now for the past 7 years. Jamal Hinton told Time magazine that each year the Thanksgiving dinner serves as a time to catch up on each other's lives and events. He said they rarely watch TV. Instead, they just spend hours talking and laughing. "Time kind of flies," he said. "We don't even realize how long we've been there. They're really good company." You see, that's the real America. Does racism exist? Yes. Certainly. But we are not a systemically racist nation. We are a nation where race baiters and race profiteers on both sides of a racist divide are given far more credit than they're ever due. All the rest of us, and that's the vast majority of the nation, by the way, are guilty just of giving them a voice, of allowing them too much time in the public square. And I, for one, am tired of it. I, for one, am willing to use this platform that God's given me to point out that I believe that we are far more than what some loudmouth dividers of our people would have the world to believe. Racial stereotypes and prejudices have no place in a free and contemporary society like ours. I know that we've been there. I know that there have been movements that had to take place to effect positive change, some during my own lifetime. But no nation, no people, if you will, has done more in the history of the world to eliminate racial injustice in our own country and around the world. We have, in fact, made the world a better place in that regard. It's about value. It's the idea that every human being has worth. And that's not just me. That's in our nation's founding documents. It's in our multitude of judicial verdicts. It's in the vast amount of legislatively created statutory law. And I also believe, as a Christian, that it's scriptural. Think about it. In John 3:16, we're told God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only son. It doesn't say for God so loved some people based on the way they look. In fact, we're told elsewhere in the Bible in 1 Samuel 16:7 that God does not even look at the outward appearance of any of us. Go check it out. It's there. All said and done, I believe the example of Jamal Hinton and Wanda Dinch, their kind of Thanksgiving gathering, is more indicative of who we are as a people, really. The kind of example that openly and unabashedly says that all lives matter. Because they do. They all do. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. It's a great story, too, by the way. Wanda Dinch texting her grandson, accidentally texts another young man. This young black kid winds up having 7 years of Thanksgiving with a white family, and they love each other. It's just cool. But all these folks that get out there and, like the mayor of Montgomery, well, it may not be racist legally, but I know in my heart, what a ridiculously lack of leadership kind of thing to say. We are not a systemically racist nation. We are a nation that has led the charge on getting rid of racism. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. So, by the way, I got to make an announcement. So, in case you have not already heard, many of you have heard, but in case you haven't heard, this coming Wednesday, we'll be having a watch party for the Republican primary debate. So, yeah, it's going to be myself, Dale Jackson, Yaffe. We're going to be at Terry's Pizza having a panel discussion. Terry's, what a cool thing. Terry's Pizza. That place has been there, I mean, like my whole life, it feels like. But love me some Terry's Pizza. Love me some politics. Going to be with my buddies Dale Jackson and Yaffe. So, yeah, y'all come out that night. We'll have a big doings going on. And Mecca Music is going to be the MC for it all. And I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see you guys in Huntsville on Wednesday evening after the show. There is that. Text lines are open. It's 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I got a few of them already. Let me see what we got over here. Over here. Mark from Tony says, where are we at? Mark from Tony, I wanted to ask you, Phil, if he thinks he supports a president that's for abortion on demand can make it to heaven. first of all, I believe that salvation comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I am not one who believes you can lose your salvation. If you have accepted Christ truly, I believe you can also sin even still as a Christian. So I guess I would say if you're for abortion on demand, but you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get right with the Lord But it does not mean you're not going to heaven. It's just one of those things that you've chosen to have a thing in your life that is, in my opinion, an impediment. And we are going to be held to account. I mean, even those who know the Lord are going to be asked what we did with it when we get there. So anyway, all said and done, Mark from Tony, interesting question, but there you have it. Richard from Madison, stories like the one about Jamal and Wanda are not sexy in the eyes of the media. I didn't know where we were going here for a minute. All right, not sexy in the eyes of the media, which is why they promote the racist USA. I triple dog dare the media to find more stories like Jamal and Wanda. They would explode. I tell you what, too, great video this morning. I actually just watched it, I think, during lunch. But Larry Elder from California, radio guy, ran for governor out there. Larry Elder, who is, you know, a very conservative individual, a black guy, he went on Charlemagne the God's radio show maybe this morning or yesterday. And, you know, both of them, two black guys, one liberal and one conservative. And, I mean, it was interesting, man. It was so interesting. And he got all over Charlemagne for letting Joe Biden get away with saying, if you ain't voting for me, you ain't black. And he said, well, I mean, it's not like I let him really. And he said, no, you should have confronted him at the time. You should have demanded an apology. You should have said, how insulting that you would assume that because of the color of my skin that I will act or do a certain way or think a certain way. And so it was a great discussion. Go out there and find it on social media, Larry Elder, Charlemagne the God. I mean, it was a dynamic conversation, and Larry Elder stood him up pretty hard. Kimball from Harvest says, Phil, I agree that this is not an inherently racist nation. I love the story of Jamal and Wanda. All lives do matter. When I was a kid in recent years past, the term racist was a serious accusation. It's been worn out by overuse these days. Kimball, great text, man. John from Huntsville says, Phil, nice monologue. Looking forward to Boomer and McQueen, even though it's supposed to be on Thursdays, not Fridays. John from Huntsville is apparently a creature of habit.
Yes. And I get it.
Flexibility, man.
Should be Thursday. Come on, McQueen.
I'm going to go ahead and step in there and say, yesterday you got a B, and I did not agree with your grade.
Oh, thank you.
I did not. Not at all. Anyway, there you have it. Bam. And John also says, is it true you're going to be a part of Dale and Yaffe's debate watch event at Terry's Pizza? Yes, I am. I am indeed. Brian from Huntsville says, between you and Mo, if the Don gets convicted on anything, how long before an appeal can be recognized in a different venue? Well, they can't change the venue if for an appeal. Now, it can go up through the appeals process if it's federal, certainly. Now, if right now this is a state court thing, it's currently in state court. So the appeal process there would be the appellate courts of the state of Georgia, if it stays where it is. So you would go to, and I don't know what they call it over there, I don't recall. In Alabama, we have the circuit courts, and then we go to the Court of Civil Appeals or the Court of Criminal Appeals, and you also have the option then thereafter to the state Supreme Court. If it's federal, same thing. Goes to the 11th Circuit in Georgia, after which it goes to the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll see what happens. Lastly, before we go, John C. from Madison. Years ago, Terry Pizza used to have a Rush Limbaugh room when they had a location on Governor's Drive. Cool. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.